Ah, good evening, everyone. We are so back, guys. We are so back.
Yes,
We
we are
are
back, except from when it's
back.
over, except from when we're back, but then it's over again, and
We've taken a week off to make sure that a Nomos event happened. I was very, very croaky on. I did think about doing something on Monday, but I was a bit too tired. So we're here for our regular Thursday stream again. We've only taken one full week off, basically. So we're back, guys. We're back with our I won't invoke it yet, but it's definitely a format of streams we're doing here, because good Lord, things do keep happening, don't they?
That's the thing with things. They just do be. So,
They do be happening,
yeah.
though.
But no, it was quite a good weekend. I knew there'd be a few people in chat who were there. So if I didn't say to you in the evening, thank you very much for coming. As always, you people being
Yes.
there that actually makes the events possible. And we should have some special guests on for a recap on Monday.
Yes, we'll be doing a lot of the recap. I'm trying to get collect all the resources together and make sure we have a bunch of stuff we can show and use on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get an edited version of my speech up maybe for then as well, because I've got a draft that's thereabouts. Just going to image it up. So we've got a bunch of stuff to show you. That the Nomos London was a rather good success. A couple of interesting things happened, but you would have had to have been there, really. I kind
Yeah.
of it's it I'm quite amused that nothing has kind of come out.
Well,
In
why would anything come
yeah.
out? Nothing happened.
No, I mean,
You
so
don't
I'm
know,
quite amused
man.
that, like,
You weren't
yeah,
there.
I'm quite amused that there's, good or bad or sideways or what. People have kept, apart from in circles where it has been discussed, relatively Fight Club about it. So
Well, that's good.
I'm quite happy with that. We'll obviously be talking with our speakers and maybe hopefully have some of our guests on, at least in the chat. But it should be good. I'm looking forward to that recap. I was very, very happy with Nomos London, and we just about broke even on it too, I have calculated. So yeah, if you guys want to donate as well, the best way to do it is still via our Streamlabs. I will be making sure I keep an eye on both the YouTube backend and Streamlabs, because by some miracle of nature, we are still monetized on YouTube on the backend. But yeah, I expect to be a slightly slower stream today, but that's just because we haven't streamed for a bit, and YouTube punishes you because you have to be on that treadmill. So it'll probably take us a little while to
Well,
rev back up to where we were.
this is hopefully like some of the other ones, and I think which we're going to retrospectively look upon as a series that shall continue ad infinitum until the inevitable does happen.
Yes.
There will be some evergreen content in here that relates to stuff that happened years ago that the dots maybe aren't quite connected on, and then we'll play on to what may happen in regards to some financial matters over the next few years. Depending on how, I suppose, what we shall just coin as a collapse watch.
Trying to get the banner up. There you go.
Engage sirens and flashing lights and
We'll have sound. We don't want to like do all our budget at once. We have PNGs. We might have sound effects at some point. Out of Dr. Pepper said apologies for my tiredness. It's okay. We're all tards. Yes, I'll just put that one. Leave that one there. But we're talking about a relatively broad set of things that do intermesh. We're talking generally about pensions, but specifically the main focus will be what will I refer to as the great pension wobble, because nothing really happened. The money printer came out and they basically did like a Chinese print on demand for fiduciary media stuff, where they came in, assessed what the shortfall is, and then printed money towards the shortfall.
Because that always works.
Yeah, that always works. So it does seem that we do seem that we're kind of slightly ahead of the curve, because we have mentioned some of this in previous streams, actually. Specifically, we're going to re-go over some of the equity release stuff and what that means, because the housing stuff and the housing crisis stuff we talked about actually links in very close to with this. maybe one day we'll do like a this is like a, an overview stream where we try and give everyone all the pieces about what's really good, what's going on with the financial system in current day Britain. But for now, we're going to talk about the a lot of the different things when it comes to the pensions. But first of all, do you want to start with a history lesson, or should we start by kind of diving into this?
I'm sure the history lesson will come through bits and pieces of the sources that we've got here anyway, and we should try and keep this as brief as we can, because this is going to be one of the ones I'm sure people will probably want the notes for afterwards as well. But just you can,
Okay.
in your head, prepare your Al Murray Gordon Brown voice is all I'm thinking.
Yes, the that will be out in force.
So, considering the fact this is sort of some of the stuff you have collected, would you like to start off with the piece you've got on the Spectator here?
I'm trying to figure out which one that was actually.
I've just gone down the Google Docs in that order.
Oh yeah, the first one in the Spectator is kind of a bit of an overview in that where we are here now is that the dwindling pension fund plugged by workers' wages. A decade ago, while working for a national newspaper, I forced the then Labour government to realize documents under the freedom to release documents under the Freedom of Information Act. Papers show that Gordon Brown defied repeated warnings from his own officials about the potentially devastating impacts of a £5 billion a year raid on pension funds. And went ahead with it regardless. This is from the Spectator. Yes, this is from the
Brownites
Spectator in.
BTFO, this is a Blair household.
Yeah, this is the. It's hilarious that Brown really gets the takes the fall for all this when he was kind of he was very much the junior partner. He was not somebody who was a natural wielder of power, as we saw when he was kind of presented the reins and in many ways set up to fail. I'm not a lover of Gordon Brown, but they did just kind of put him in there and laugh when he fell over, you know. Fat man fall down, go boom. With his weird, not quite Scottish accent. That he turns on and off like a light switch
And
sometimes.
his weird eye that he lost in rugby and whatnot.
Yeah, his weird rugby eye, you know. He's looking one way, one's looking into the future.
Mad eye, maybe.
Yes. Brown announced the scrappage of tax relief and dividends paid into pension funds in his first budget in 1997, at the time when many funds were in surplus. It was the single biggest change to the system of generation. By the time my story was published, the country's savers had been deprived of at least £100 billion. Basically, what took place is that what everyone agrees is one of the worst pieces of monetary policy in British history, in that Gordon Brown, to pay for all the brown people they were going to bring in, and all the education, and for floating the euro and all the gold he gave away, basically to pay for Labour's massive spending splurge, they would destroy the nation's pension system. And they would do it in such a way that people would be out hundreds of millions of
See,
pounds.
is it worth mentioning the slight like deep lore here? And it's we will avoid going on that tangent because it's maybe a whole other stream of its own. But a lot of this basically
Yes.
started because we started thinking about like, wait, what happened to all the pension funds June 2001? Why do people talk about them all collapsing during that time, and why has no one written about it?
That's something we'll go over because I've actually been looking. There's a few bits and pieces, but yeah, a lot of people's pensions post 9/11 completely disappeared. This is partially why in the UK, but it also happened in the US as well. Pre-2008 financial crisis. Around 2001, there was a big, basically, whilst the stock market was shut after 9/11, there was a big financial write-off, and a large amount of people's pensions were involved in that write-off. And that event is not particularly well publicized. It was a lot more impactful than something like the dot-com bubble, which is written about ad infinitum, because most retail investors didn't really lose that much money on the dot-com bubble. But the raiding of pensions post 9/11 is a subject we'll have to try and find more on. But right now we're going through the British perspective here. That's kind of a retrospective from the Spectator. There's one from the FT Saver here again from 2014. Talking about savers could have actually lost 230 billion in Brown's pension raid. The Office for Budget Responsibility has provided an insight into the impact of Gordon Brown's 1997 tax grab on pensions through the abolition of the tax credit on dividends. The extra income for the Exchequer is expected to be 9.7 billion this year. The Treasury enjoyed a 119 billion boost.
I'm
So
just
that's
looking
almost
at
118.
the bit here, I
Yeah.
guess a bit further into it. It's indisputable that people are retiring today on smaller pensions than would otherwise have been the case, especially so much of the return from the stock market since the turn of the century has been from dividends. The tax credit boosted every dividend payment by a quarter, compounded the extra income over 17 years, and you're looking at a mighty big figure. There are other impacts. Smaller pensions mean more people are more likely to fall back on state benefits. But yeah, no, you just.
Funny that.
Yeah, but if I'm right in saying the crux of the policy was that the you used to be able to pay investment dividends directly into your pension fund without paying
Yes.
a tax on it as if it was an earned income that you were paying into a pension fund.
Yes, and
So
also the dividends.
inversely, because you've got to
Yeah.
remember the bit that you add on here, is that there are a lot of people who got decent jobs in the UK. Probably about 2001, 2002 onwards, where instead of getting a pay rise, you were offered a better stock option, and the dividends
Yes.
off your stock option you could transfer into either part of your wage and pay tax on that, or transfer it directly into a pension fund and, earn a wage, pay no tax on the wage, stick that straight in your pension fund. And it was a great sort of workaround. I mean, I know someone in my family had a sort of similar thing like that going. But then
Yes.
it then becomes, you're actually then paying a premium on your now stock option based wage because you're not only now paying a wage on it that would normally be there, you may also be paying a surplus on it because it's now counted as a dividend or a bonus sort of income.
It also meant that pensions had to become slightly different investment portfolios. It, as we'll see, it changed pensions from being sometimes stock-based to being more bond-based. And a lot of pensions these days have found refuge in financial products that don't pay dividends because of this. It really turned them into an engine for buying government bonds. There's an unwritten story here about the fact that once this took place and once this change took place, it fundamentally altered the fabric of how pensions are invested. And pensions make up one of the largest areas of what is considered retail investment.
Well,
Where people's money goes, where it's invested, is largely pensions. Pension funds are some of the biggest non-governmental investors in the world. So policy affecting that is very important.
but then you get into the situation where we will cover more of it, I'm sure, as we go through. But obviously, once they start buying bonds, they're technically buying
Yes.
debt. So there is
Yes, they
no,
are.
there is, there becomes almost no market interaction whatsoever. It literally just becomes different little boxes of numbers on a big government balance sheet, and they, as you say, they just slide the money around and print what they think they'll need at the end of the year to make up the unfunded liabilities, which, as we might get into, as we said earlier on, does not work.
No. Here's one of the few pieces I found when I tried to do some SEO and typed in kind of 2001, 2002, or 2003 pension crisis as a keyword. What we have here is a London School of Economics research talking about the pension crisis, but nothing, I couldn't find anything about it. Like, it's like there's this crisis being acknowledged and solutions to it posited, but the actual crisis itself seemed to have been written out of British economic history.
Oh yeah, and
If
this
you
is
were to,
also
yeah.
the sort of pure Blair influence because it's now immigrants are the solution to the pension scheme
Yes,
problem.
what they've done is they have taxed people's pensions, they've changed people's investment portfolios, they've essentially ruined many people's retirements, and in changing the goalposts, they have made a lot of people's financial products unviable. That's another thing here, that when you shift the axis like that on what does and doesn't pay out properly, if a lot of people have been investing those things, it's very hard for them to change tact without permission from the pension holder. So you end up with a whole bunch of pension schemes that don't really work anymore,
You think
which
as well what's
it,
going on here, if I'm right in saying this is based off a data set from UBS. So there will have been some form of large bank and or quote unquote independent pension fund has
yeah.
probably been involved in this research, which means once again you've got international finance and governance going hand in hand. As like, yeah, this is, yeah, bring more and more immigrants so our hedge fund doesn't go, to pot.
Yeah, basically, what happened is the pension crisis was created, and everyone told Brown that this would happen. Everyone told the Blair government this would happen if they took away tax relief on dividends. So they went ahead and did it. A pension crisis was created. We all have to work longer, blah blah blah. And the answer to looking after all the old people who can't look after themselves is posited as mass immigration. That's how it was sold to people in about 2003, 2004. It wasn't sold on these weird kind of managed. It wasn't sold on these other grounds. But it was sold on the, well, we'll have to bring in a few more people to support you when you're older kind of thing. It was a very nuts and bolts pragmatist argument about the fact that with a top heavy population, they'd have to bring in immigrants to support the economy. And that's part of the argument anyway, still, but they've bolted so much else onto it. But that's probably a discussion for another time. Here's what we can talk about, what actually happened. It's a little bit complex, so we'll try and make it as simple as possible because it's to do with the balance sheets of pensions funds, which isn't, I know, the most immediately riveting topic. We're not exactly owning the libs out here. As much as some of you would rather us find a big fat rainbow person to laugh at, this is really where the sausage gets made. So pay attention to what pension funds are doing, and especially pay attention to them in relation
Well,
to
because
bonds, which is where this has gone.
make it obvious if people aren't fully aware, in Britain, you can't really hand over large amounts of wealth through just direct property transfer anymore because inheritance and tax. And you can't really do it through many financial things anymore. And for quite a while, if I'm correct in saying, there was a sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge from a lot of banks that were like, well, if you set up these type of pensions, you can
Yes.
get round some of it. Or you can, we have this guarantee with the government that says if you put X in a pension, you will get X back without inheritance tax on it, or whatever sort of agreements there were. So there was a big incentive for people to focus, probably really from the 90s onwards, maybe possibly earlier, into these more technical and financialized pension schemes, not just as a way to sort of preserve themselves once they work to 75 years old or whatever, but more so as a way to put assets away to pass on generationally in some sort of way where they accrue value and you don't get completely eaten on the other end. And that has now got to the point where it's, I mean, I think we'll get into it more, but they are almost having to dip into what is in these funds to pay for the premium of holding them.
Yes.
And that's part of what's going on here. Because I think if I will let you carry on with the one we've got going on here, because I'll not get too far ahead of myself.
Well, what happened was that UK pension funds had to have a mass sell-off to meet their margin. Well, we'll see the term margin call. That basically means that when there is like a sit rep of what you're holding, what you have, what your balance sheet is. And on a margin call, you either have to sell stuff or buy stuff. Basically, it's the right guys put up or shut up. Kind of it's the nut up point, if you will. If you get nothing else out of this, that's kind of an overview explanation of what a margin call is. Because I'm not going to go into a technical explanation because it doesn't particularly matter. It's really just it's like gambling. It's when the bets get called. The UK pension schemes are dumping stocks and bonds to raise cash and seeking bailouts from their corporate backers as the crisis in the industry rages on a week after the government's mini budget. This is a structural issue. A lot of people have been blaming this mini budget, but it was received badly in a very performative way, and then a lot of the markets went a bit wonky. A lot of the news about this pension crisis, it's all from a month ago. It all happened and then basically disappeared. They're pretending the crisis is over. It's not over.
Well, that was the
It's a
thing as
structural
well.
issue.
I remember seeing a headline. I don't know if it's one of the ones we'll come across here. I know we've got some notes of it elsewhere, but it was essentially someone being like, well, yeah, it looks like there's been a margin call against UK pension funds in the order of a couple of hundred billion. That's never good news.
No, because we talked about this months ago. When we talked about the government bond yields basically becoming junk and a whole bunch of other bonds becoming junk as well, and the price of them crashing. And no one else really mentioned it. No one mentioned the fact, oh, by the way, all these UK bonds worthless. Well, essentially what's happened here is because the UK pension schemes have to keep assets and liabilities, they have to carry a certain risk threshold as well. They can't go beyond a certain risk threshold. They've had the double whammy of the UK government bonds being higher risk, so they can't hold them, being worth less, so even if they can hold them, they can't offset them as value against other liabilities they may have, and then being uniformly forced to sell them, which causes the price to slump down further, which causes the bonds to be worth less, which causes them have to sell more, and you end up with a massive negative cycle, all because pension funds have really been backed into a corner,
Yeah, that
and they have been
move.
forced to buy up government debt because it is the only thing really they can get their yields from that is also quote unquote still safe.
The sharp fall in the price of 30-year government bonds, triggered by last week's tax cut announcement, yeah, I'm sure it was, led to unprecedented margin calls or demands for more cash. To raise the funds, pensions fund, sorry, to raise the funds, pension funds sold assets, including government bonds or gilts, causing prices to fall further. The Bank of England stepped in to buy gilts on Wednesday, essentially halting the price crash. There would have been no floor to these bonds. And that's always what happens with these things, and we'll see it with this, is that they're trying to cover up how, snap call to action the Bank of England had to be in this situation. Because it could have literally been the case if they'd have let the bond market go in free fall, into Thursday or Friday, that these pension funds would have never been able to recover. Because they'd have just been, they themselves would be valued so much lower than they were the week prior, that the rates they borrow at would never allow them to sort of pull themselves out of like this kind of like almost liquidity trap that they're in.
There's a lot to talk about. To raise the funds, pensions funds sold old assets, including government bonds, causing the price to fall further. Bank of England stepped in to buy gilts on Wednesday, stabilizing the market. But the pension funds are continuing to sell assets to meet cash calls, the margin calls, because the like I said, the broker or the underwriter or whoever underwrites these pensions will go, right, guys, your balance sheet has changed. You need to stump up more cash to cover that risk. And the pension fund goes, oh, we no have cash, oh no, bank help. And then you get basically a mini 2008 situation where the government, by buying back its own debt, effectively prints money. We'll get into some of that later because there's more explanation about what the Bank of England actually did. But Ariel Bezazel, there's a lot of pain out there, a lot of forced selling. Fund manager Ariel Bazile said, people are getting margin called or having to sell what they can rather than what they would like to. So the
Well,
Bank of England helped bring
I
down
think
yields, blah, blah,
the
blah.
graph down here is really the telling point that from essentially bang on start of 2020 onwards, there is like a 2% for like, what is that? We're in like what, the nearly the third quarter now, so or when this started, so nearly a 2 and a bit percent per quarter constant rise in the yields for these indexes that previously didn't do this until 2007, 2008, funnily enough.
No.
When we
Well,
had that,
the whole
because there's
point is
the,
if you
wait, there's the first dip, there's the double dip.
look at the yields though, half of the pain was from this supposedly from the mini budget. But 50% of the rise had happened already. We were already halfway to where we got to. We were already in crisis. If you the graph is deceptively long in scale. If they showed it 2020 to 2022, you'd be like, wait a minute. This rise started long before Liz Truss got into number 10. This rise started long before Umbungu
Well,
became Chancellor
you can really
and
consider the
left Matt
fact that
Frosnell.
it hits the floor almost as it comes into 2021, and then basically rises as the Bank of England and other financial institutions increasingly rise interest rates.
Yeah.
You could almost map it over that, I reckon. Anything more? Oh God, this is quite a big article, this. Anything more we need to pick out of this, or?
I'm just having a quick look here. We're talking about liability-driven investment strategies. We'll talk about some of that later. Demanding more cash to fund the same derivative positions in their dash for safety. The largest managers include Legal & General, investment management BlackRock, and investment. So basically, they've been driven further into the arms of people like BlackRock and Legal &
Yep.
General. To fund the collateral calls, some pension schemes have resorted to asking employers backing their own plans for cash. So they're having to go to people like, they talk about Serco here, they talk about other large companies. They've had to go to the companies themselves and say, yeah, you guys, if you guys have any excess cash, like ready couch cushions, basically, we need to bring in this cash in the short term or else our pension fund is going to go pop.
Serco, the same company that's providing a scheme to house immigrants up and down Britain for on 3-year guarantee contracts as well.
Yes.
Funny that.
We've got a second one here for the Financial Times saying similar stuff. It's actually got a smaller scale here. And we can see when the mini budget was, which was, again, it's only half of it.
Yeah.
This has got a slightly less deceptive graph. But it talks about the fact that pension schemes dash for cash shakes up UK corporate debt. Ripples from government debt shock push investors away from company bonds. A rush for cash by UK pension funds has weakened the already shaky sterling-denominated corporate debt market and pushed up borrowing costs for companies across the country. So what's happened is the cascade effect has meant that the government bonds and the faith in the pound in general has caused the lending costs for all companies to skyrocket, which has mean that the bonds that they sell are now higher risk, which means now that the pension funds have to stump up more cash to carry those bonds.
Well,
It's the same cycle.
this is the sort of thing that happens in economics almost. It's kind of referred to crowding out, where because the
Yes.
government is having to borrow so much just to sort of flood the, in this case, the pension market via floating money to keep bonds up and this, that, and the next thing, that knocks on and, as you're saying, increases lending costs for everybody else, who are probably already pushed to their very limit. And the fact that, as we keep covering here, that the interest rates are creeping up, this all it all compounds to some point where there is no way to fill these cash shortages. So it might not be the pension market, or specifically the housing market, that kills any sort of economic momentum, but it'll be something like that, because it will just be the, oh, there's a margin call and there's a cash shortage, and for some reason or another, they can't get it that day.
Mopeman in chat raises a very good point. We'll be talking about that later. We're talking about final salary pensions in a bit. But the issue here is the length of the bonds. These are
Yes.
long-term bonds. Therefore, the long-term prospects of the economy and borrowing have been crowded down. But the short-term, as he's saying here, have gone up. In the short-term, they're not expecting a massive collapse, in the next 6 months. But long-term, they're expecting a lot of pain. You're right about the whole final salary pension things, and the whole point is that the interest rates over time, over a long period of time, are going to be the most painful thing, which is arguably a much worse indicator for the UK economy because if they're predicting high interest rates, sorry, high returns and high rates from bonds over the long period, that means they see the UK economy as largely at risk, not in the short term, but in the long term as well. Which is quite a poor indicator. But this ra this goes over some of the other stuff. It talks about the fact that large companies, like they bring Rolls-Royce into it here as an example, that they may have to borrow
Is
more to
this
meet their.
further down after the graph?
Yes, it is. It talks about Rolls-Royce might have to borrow more to meet their obligations, which means that their borrowing costs would go up, which means they. Again, it's negative cycle stuff.
Hmm.
A lot of it is like negative cycle in that they're. There really isn't a way out of this, unfortunately, because the piper kind of needs to be paid. The damage has already been done generationally over these unsustainably high pensions and over these unsustainably generous remuneration packages. Again, a
Yes.
lot of people rag on the boomers, but this really is the we're having to pay for all these old people with their large inflation-proof pensions,
It goes
as
to
we'll get
show
into a bit later.
an amazing amount of time preference shift among all your big sort of institutional financial investors. I mean, the one just
Yes.
above what you're talking about here, Iceland bonds maturing in 2025 are now trading with a yield of 16.8%, up from 15.8%. There is absolutely no confidence in the long term. They are all trying to
No.
push, whatever maturation or whatever, margin they have to make out in, 2025, 2030. They're not even bothering with making that because we've got to make the one that's next year or next week or
Yes,
whatever.
it's worth pointing out here that pensions are uniquely affected by this because of the terms that they invest over, and that they have kind of become the canary in the coal mine here because most other financial institutions, financial instruments have moved into the short term. They've moved into the forever now, and many of them have extremely narrow time horizons for this reason, because for the longest time, really, the long-term prospects of the economy have been bolstered by these effectively negative interest rates. And the only reason that these things have survived and the yields have been so low is because of these negative interest rates, which are unsustainable. As soon as you hit an inflationary period like we have now, as soon as anything wobbles slightly, you have to put them up. Which cascades.
Well, that's
It's basically,
the thing here as well. They try and not so much play a switcheroo, but their lack of demand means it is trading by appointment only in vast swathes of sterling high yield. They're talking about some other holding from some other asset manager, wherever they are. I said Matthews, demand is bordering on pathetic. It was bad before the budget, but this has made it even worse. This is not a problem with demand. This is the fact that you have massive hedge funds and massive pension funds throwing this stuff away basically at whatever they can get for it.
Well, there's a another again. A lot of these are saying the same thing, but this one's relatively interesting. It's this one again is from a different source. It just says UK pension funds dump assets to meet margin calls. They're talking again about this mass sell-off situation, which again was plugged heartily by the Bank of England. We'll get to that later. You found something on LinkedIn which was interesting though, by Dr. Marco Metzler.
Yeah, this is if people are confused with what we're going over, maybe if we just quickly go through this, it might clear up some of it.
Yeah, give a quick zoom in.
Yeah.
There we go.
The
Perfect.
next domino has fallen as sterling and gilts plummets, UK pensions get hit with $107 million margin calls, a global financial meltdown is coming. Pension funds in the UK were affected by margin calls that sum up to $107 million after sterling and gilt plummeted on derivatives and leveraged repo positions. Keywords there. The chief investment officer on XPS Pension Group, Simon Wills, said that some fund managers had requested emergency capital from active clients to keep market positions open. There's your funds basically asking employers for a cash injection. Markets are currently
Yes.
moving swiftly to transfer liquid assets from A to B. Pension funds are now facing a lot of margin calls due to the interest rate derivatives and asset swaps they use for liability hedging, or sorry, their liability hedging. Some funds have also requested to invest further collateral to lay against the repo positions, as well as foreign exchange derivatives that hedge US dollar assets. So this is all your derivatives, asset swaps, repo positions are all, I think, very easily bracketed as part of your toxic debt that
Yes.
everyone was talking about in 2008. And what he's essentially saying here is that the toxic debt has gone toxic and it can't be touched anymore. And they're desperate to get rid of it. But because they're desperate to get rid of it, they are also not balanced in their sheets anymore. The latest market movements, 10-year UK government yields and the sterling spot rate falling have all added against the funds. The so-called mini budget primarily caused these movements, not so sure about that, this spooked markets. Some people invest most of their hard-earned money into these funds. They were trusting the firms or the hedge fund managers to manage their valuable assets wisely. Now, due to these events, many people have lost their investments because hedge fund managers could not react fast enough. This proves that markets are very complex. You must always do the diligence, blah, 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 blah. And he's saying gold, silver, this, that, the next thing. But again, it's just a summation of the fact that these pension funds, because of the policy instituted by Gordon Brown and latterly Gordon Brown when he was in government, squeezed them into having to buy crap debt. And then 2008 squeezed them even further, so they had to have even more crap debt. And now, because they've had all this stuff, everyone realizes it's worthless. And on top of this, finally, we've had this kind of point where, even because I think the situation in 2007, 2008 is different from here. Because then there was no, you know, fair enough, they're like, oh, there's a recession, but it's not the end of the world. But there seems to be enough signals nowadays, you know, especially your 30-year, your 25-year gilts and yields and stuff like that losing value, is basically a large number of people going, no, this is the end of the world. And that all is sort of compounding. And that's, I think, the reason why looking at this stuff now, even though it doesn't seem like much of anything, is actually interesting. Because what this sort of signals, in a greater sense, that the smart money has moved and is starting to scatter and spread to the wind.
Yes. We'll not go over the next link, but I want to quickly go over the fact that a bunch of the of articles that I read talks about these pension funds having to move towards what are called CSAs, which are credit support annexes. Basically, a credit support annex is them basically having a mutual agreement with a third party.
So I believe this first one here, the Mondac one, is just a retelling of the same story from the previous
post. Yes, it is. I just wanted to have multiple in case a lot of them got memory hold.
Yeah. Anyway, so that is just a retelling. CSA one.
Yes. One of the ones we had up early, we didn't read in full, mentioned CSAs, but it's them basically putting up large amounts of their business as collateral. It's them kind of going all in a little bit. From what I can tell. Yeah, the main purpose of CSA is to define and record the collateral offered by both parties in a derivatives transaction in order to ensure that they can cover any losses. Derivatives trading carries high risks, derivative contracts agreements to buy or sell a specific number of shares or stocks. So they're entering into agreements with third parties where they basically go, look, at some point in the future, all of these derivatives, all of these stocks, all of these financial assets that we own will be yours if you underwrite us in the short term. And a CSA is seen as a kind of a slightly risky move, and it's also seen as a move of desperation.
Well,
it's a move you make when you don't actually have the cash to underwrite yourself.
It's very similar to short selling in a lot of ways.
Slightly, yes.
To someone in the chat, this all sounds like a strategy-based RPG for billionaires, pretty much.
It is. It's exactly what it is. It's a strategy-based RPG for billionaires, but what they're using as fodder are your pensions. So, welcome to the managerial economy, pal.
But yeah, it sort of is again like the crap from 2008. It's not only now are you know, you've got the pension fund, it needs to be leveraged against something. And let's say they can't now afford bonds because the rates are all going funny. So instead, they aren't even levering it against, you know, a mortgage or some other private kind of gilt or bond from like BP. They're actually betting on whether or not someone else who holds the asset is going to get paid what they think they're going to get paid in 20, 30 years. But that contract never clears. And the whole thing is based on the premise that you never clear up at the end of the day. There's always just an extra level of speculation added on top so that people can drag a little bit more money out of it.
People laugh at investing in pensions now, and I will say that investing in pensions now is do not invest in a pension. Don't do it. It is terrible. It's been terrible since the 90s. It's been terrible since the end of the Clinton era and the beginning of the tax on bonds era. So tax on dividends here in the UK has been a bad deal for a long time. But throughout most of British history, especially kind of 1945 through 1989, anyone who was lower middle class, even working class people, were told that the only way they could protect their money was by investing in a pension. and they were sold them as these cast iron, like the pensions couldn't disappear. They were told that these were completely safe, beyond safe, that they were the only investment type that was completely safe. And now that all this is happening, all those people who spent hundreds of thousands of pounds investing these pensions, one, won't get their money out of them, but two, they may end up completely stranded in their retirement. They may end up completely stranded in their old age because of all this financial mismanagement. It is, again, it's part of the psyop. It's part of having bought into the system, thinking it will support you, and then you get the rug pulled out from under you because you believe them. You handed over your money to a magical man in the sky, essentially, and oops, oopsie doopsie, it's gone. It's very, the mattress holders are laughing, and the mattress holders will always be laughing, because they can see their money. But it's a great example. There's actually an interesting admission here from the Washington Post, though. It contradicts itself quite a few times in this article, because the opening paragraph, well, it's entitled "The Pension Fund Strategy That's Plaguing the UK Bond Market." Investment strategy used by UK pension programs to protect themselves from falling fired in late September when the yields jumped up, exposing a major risk at the heart of the country's financial system. Pension funds following such an approach, known as liability-driven investments, or LDI, were left scrambling to post more collateral to cover losses, while the Bank of England stepped in repeatedly, yes, to calm the turmoil. The measures were a temporary fix for a market that's remained vulnerable to more shocks. It's like, what caused the blow-up? The sudden and enormous move in UK sovereign debt followed the September 23rd announcement. Blah, 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 Liz Truss did it, Liz Truss did it, Liz Truss did it. But the opening explains that what's happened is because of all these low interest rates, they couldn't get the yields that they wanted. The yields were a bit too low on these government bonds, and so they leveraged themselves into slightly more risky positions, and they leveraged other assets against the extreme low risk of these bonds. Once these bonds jumped up, once they effectively got what they wanted, if they were in a more sane position, that caused the rest of their portfolio to kind of blow up because the numbers stopped making sense. So any shock to sterling, any shock to government sovereign debt, any shock to even like the inter-business lending rate would cause this to blow up. They
Was
basically bet that there would never be a financial shock of any kind.
it's all right anyway though, because BlackRock is here. Firms including BlackRock Inc., Legal and General Group PLC, and Schroders PLC developed LDI funds. How do you develop debt?
Well,
Developed LDI funds to sell to pension plans. Many pension managers outsource their portfolios, including LDI trades, to these institutions. Here's a further admission that BlackRock is managing and using voting rights out of the collateral and debt and crap that your pension's leveraged against.
yes,
There
and
are
as I mentioned
firms.
earlier,
Oh, sorry.
instead of being punished for doing this, all these firms were forced to go back to BlackRock and get these terrible financial products to get emergency lending from them. They were basically driven back into the arms of the seller of their toxic product because they were the only ones who could effectively underwrite them when their product went bad.
Yeah, there are firms such as Cardano and Insight Investments where LDI is the bulk of their business. I bet you either one of these two, if not the both, are a derivative of BlackRock or Vanguard or what was the other big one? State Street or whatever. Where
Amazing,
LDI,
isn't it? The total assets in LDI strategies almost quadrupled to
yes, that was the bit I
1.6
wanted to get to
trillion
there.
in the 10 years through 20. Why would that be? Why would that happen after the financial crisis and after the collapse of dividends? Why would they move towards investing in massive amounts of government debt and then leveraging that low risk debt to go into high risk strategies? Why? It's almost like somebody. And multiple somebody. It's almost like the Western financial institutions and regulators incentivize that kind of behavior. And BlackRock was involved in writing some of those incentives post 2008. It's kind of amazing, isn't it,
Well,
that all these things keep popping up?
it carries on here. How did LDI get so big? LDI strategies helped to solve a problem faced by helped to solve a problem. Yeah, I'm sure they just had this solution ready to go. Problem solved by pension fund. Sorry, prop solve a problem faced by pension managers after central banks embarked on massive bond purchases to boost economies following the 2008 crisis. I here again is a situation where the pension funds are being washed out of the bond market because the central banks showed up and has decided to buy it all at whatever rate it's going and has bumped the price up. The BOE and its peers used so-called quantitative easing or QE to push cash into the economy and reduce borrowing costs. This sent yields on long-dated gilts to historic lows in recent years. Pension funds that guarantee retirees a fixed regular payout rely on the income from those bonds to meet their future commitments. This was the point Moped Man was making in chat earlier.
Yes.
As yields fell, their liabilities rose because of the accounting conventions used in pension reporting to help cover the shortfall. They turned to LDI strategies.
Yeah, the it says what went wrong? The approach involved using derivatives or repurchase agreements, effectively lending bonds out in return for cash, which they could use then to reinvest more bonds as well as riskier assets. What's not being talked about is the regulatory framework, which because of the QE means that government debt is seen as basically undefaultable. You, governments don't default on their debt is what he's always repeated, even though they do. Yeah. So we've had a mortgage market that has not just become reliant on QE, it's become entirely shaped by it. And in an environment where there is less QE, the moment that they stop printing money, the arse falls out of it because they've been printing money in such quantities for so long that everything has become warped around that.
It gets better here with the fifth point. So the BOE bailed the pension funds out? In a sense, yes. The central bank's successive purchases of long-dated government debt helped the funds out of a tricky liquidity situation by preventing a wholesale bond sell-off that could have led to cascading margin calls, i.e., the arse falling at the market when the QE stops. The UK's pensions regulator has made clear that funds weren't at risk of collapse. But the
So why the
BOE's
emergency intervention here?
But the BOE's intervention did avoid them having to sell too many assets at unfavorable prices. This was particularly true in the case of so-called illiquid assets such as real estate that can't be sold quickly without a big discount. Here is almost like the linguistic trick: sell too many assets at unfavorable prices. If you sell them at the price that's required to keep the pension fund going, they aren't unfavorable prices. They're just the
It's
price. They would
yeah
only be unfavorable prices if for some other reason you wouldn't have to, which is just this whole assumption that, well, yeah, the game is rigged and we can't let this stuff fall. So it's
one, the
not.
game is rigged, and two, these pensions funds are unviable without constant intervention from central banks. They are toxic in nature, and if the central banks ever stop juggling the plates, if they're ever unable to just jam more QE down their throats. Because again, what they're sidestepping here is that the problem is QE. The reason all this happened is QE, and their solution was more QE. They are putting out the fire with putting out fires with gasoline.
Well, see, it's interesting as well because if you continue on here, point six as it's happened before. The same pension funds faced collateral calls earlier this year owing to rising yields. The difference this time was the speed and scale of the gilt sell-off. That meant counterparties were issuing emergency demands for cash where the deadline could be a matter of hours rather than weeks. So for anyone that was paying
Collapsing too
attention in
fast.
yeah, for anyone that was paying attention in early 2019, this is what happened to Deutsche Bank, basically, during the repo
Yes.
purchasing agreements, was that they didn't have enough money to remake or to make their equivalent of a margin call and, making the reserve requirements and have their balance sheet sorted for the next day's business. So they had to run to the New York Fed almost directly with their hands out and say, we need $100 million, whatever rate you like. And the repo market basically went from 3-4% overnight lending rate to like 12. And that's essentially the same kind of thing that's happened here. However, they've kind of put it's not happened quite as quick. But it shows that the, you know, these pitfalls where there is no cash anymore when margin calls or reserve requirements need to be made can't be done anymore, and they have to run to the central bank and borrow whatever rate they can get.
This is actually quite a good, like, it's a slightly deceptive overview. It's quite a good overview. Why does it all matter? The Bank of England's intervention triggered the largest fall on record of UK long-term yields, only a day after the biggest ever rise. Lovely and stable. These benchmark rates impact borrowing costs in the wider economy and were causing turmoil for some consumers and businesses, with mortgage products getting withdrawn and deals collapsing. We'll get into that later. The strain on the pension industry was clear by October when real estate funds, whose investors included UK pension plans, began to offer properties for sale to meet redemption requests. Good Lord. How was the worst crisis avoided? Both bond investors were reassured after Liz Truss replaced Chan. They talk about the political stuff here, but that's the trigger. It's like blaming the match for the giant bonfire that's been built. It is what it is. All of this just goes over boilerplate stuff. It's an odd position, optically at least, to take 0.9. On the one hand, it's trying to slow the economy by raising benchmark interest rates to tame inflation. Yet as crisis unfolded, it's simultaneous with buying bonds, putting more cash into the system. Similar to the way of the year, well, it's still it says the years of QE. The QE never stopped, as people have talked about here. What the UK economy has effectively been doing for the last decade, really, is they've been applying the accelerator and the brake at the same time, with the buybacks and the repo debts and the printing and the unprinting effectively, and now especially with the rate hikes, but also the QE at the same time, they are essentially running the economy at full speed with a handbrake on. It's anyone who was watching this, who had any proper eye, would tell you to panic, because that is a sign of a completely runaway situation where no one really knows what's going on.
Well, no, it's kind of funny as well because I've got a thing down here at the bottom. Just the gyrations forced the bank to delay a bond sale program aimed at reducing the mammoth pile of government securities it built up since the financial crisis. Now, I looked at the Bank of England's news thing the other day, and it was just like three or four articles were like, we're halting the sale until this date, and then we'll decide whether or not we want to sell. Or we're gonna sell, or we've stopped selling, or we're gonna sell some more. I know we've stopped, and it just sort of there was a sort of drib drab on and off for days where they were like, you know, let's just go as small as we can, just not to like make it the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, we're at the situation where if anyone sneezes, everyone catches a cold, and there's all these fires they can't quite put out. Like they, the budget. Let's be fair. The supposed political trigger of this was spending on the orders of magnitude that was going to be about a third of the coronavirus bill stuff.
Yes, I mean that's what makes
So.
it so laughable, is that it's the cost of living crisis excess spending that's done us in, and not the trillions that were thrown at people through coronavirus loans and new versions of QE and this, that, and the next thing that they've been doing since early 2019, mind you, because that's the whole thing as well, is that these things always sort of are preceded and start earlier than is always retrospectively told to us. So the mass printing the money that became coronavirus loans in March 2020 was really a lot of the stuff that was printed to cover up the whole repo hole late 2019, just making it into people's hands.
Yes. Again, I would like to note here as well that all of this, all these investment strategies, all this stuff from BlackRock is policymaker led. It's all because here in the UK and in the US and everywhere else, pension funds were forced to turn to much more risky financial instruments because they were artificially depressing the rates at which governments can borrow money. And if you do that, you end up with these perverse market conditions. It's a great example of malinvestment. All these pension funds have been backed into a corner of heavily regulated malinvestment. They were basically forced to do this because the regulatory requirement is so tight and the financial instruments are so narrow in many cases to make the yields that you're supposed to get in quotes from your fund. You are really just have to be on rails financially. And that's why it leads to these mass shocks when things don't go quote unquote to plan. But let's talk about what the Bank of England actually did.
Well, see, this is the thing as well, is you think, you go back to the post here from Dr. Marco Metzler, $107 million margin call. That's a whole lot of money, that. And then you realize Bank of England, £65 billion gilt intervention. So that, this is almost the this is what has to be done on one end to plug up $107 million deficit elsewhere. Not that this is the end all and be all of that, but it makes you sort of see how one issue, one place, all of a sudden becomes this monstrous sum of money elsewhere.
That's by the way, that's £1,000 for every man, woman, and child in the UK. Just that's what that amount of money. It's
My
just I know
God.
we're at
You're not telling
17
me the
million
guy
now,
that
but
wrote this article was called Tommy Stubbington.
yes. Well, we're reading the FT, so I don't think a lot of these people are composite characters. Well, the another thing to note about this before we start is that pre-2008, this would have been seen as a monumental bailout that would have needed like parliamentary consent. The Bank of England can just do this. They can just print £1,000 for every man, woman, and child in the UK in a single day to stop the pension funds from popping. And no politician agrees to it. There's no vote taken. It's in the hands of the technocrats. Things are so quick and positions have to change so often that they are not able to even keep the illusion of kind of financial democracy going. This is a purely technocratic decision and one that is a bailout on
Well, yeah,
a
let's put it this
ridiculous
way.
scale.
The total cash cost of the interventions, I'm just looking on a thing for the Black, not BlackRock, sorry, Northern Rock crash, which is what was touted to us as the cause of the 2008 financial crisis, was £137 billion, which is half of what this slight intervention,
So it's twice, this is half of what this supposed
but that was.
one
That was in the
intervention would do.
news for weeks. Question time every other evening was, why are we giving the bank so much money? It was at least something that people were like, well, that doesn't seem right. Whereas, as you're saying now, it's just like, oh yeah, the Bank of England puts out $65 billion of liquidity into the market, and it's just Tuesday.
Well, this was October 6th. And we moved to October 11th. This is the article I was talking about off air, where it's had about seven different titles to it. The title I found of the live version, which I now can't see because their stupid paywall, says Bank of England will not extend intervention. Basically, they've prevented collapse, but they can't prevent the pain, or they won't prevent the pain. They're supposed to be in pain, but there's not collapse. It's very much there's this planned Goldilocks zone of how much financial pain you're supposed to be in.
Somebody in the chat's got the right idea for Fat Garth. I'm going long on Silver Rizla.
How long is it, a triple Skinner? Oh dear, that's funny. But yes, this one says the title I snapshotted here, which is
This is
the
Tommy Stubbington again.
this is Adam Sampson, Tommy Stubbington, and Josephine Cumbo. Who are these people?
Yeah, but no, they're going to say here, Bank of England has staged its second emergency intervention in as many days. So it was 50 billion the first time. What is it now?
No,
What
it
should
was
we add?
65 billion the first time. Bank of England has widened its 65 billion, so it's more.
So they just like stretch the notes a bit.
They, you know, when the TV, you know, when they have to used to have the old TV and you put it in the wrong aspect ratio? It's like that.
Now the BOE widened its £65 billion gilts purchasing program to include inflation-linked bond in its latest latest attempt to stem fire sales by pension funds that have created a material risk to UK financial stability. Well, it was Tuesday that happened as well. What are the odds? Yeah. Tuesday's move, the first time the BOE's purchased indexed linked debt, initially helped steady gilt markets on a day when the IMF reiterated its doubt about UK economic prospects. It followed the BOE's increase on Monday of the programme's daily maximum purchase level of £10 billion.
£10 billion a day. £10 billion a day. We don't have a final figure here then. We actually don't know.
Well, you would presume that it's a £65 billion purchase programme over a certain amount of time. And then as they do with the selling programmes, they basically, you know, open like a digital market for 2 minutes and let bots from hedge funds buy at them at the perfect moment when they think the value might be right. They do come on to say more at the bottom here, though.
Okay.
Pension industry also called the Bank of England to extend the bond buying programme's Friday deadline because of concerns funds do not have sufficient time to shore up portfolios against further shocks. That's the asking for more.
Mm.
The Pensions and Lifetime Saving Association, which represents schemes with about 30 million savers with 1.3 trillion in retirement money invested, says many funds would prefer the BOE's programme to extend at least until the government unveiled debt-cutting plans on October 31st. So this was
by the way, didn't happen. That announcement got delayed.
Yes. Well, I think they only ever extended the thing out to October 28th. I'm not sure if it's still going on now. I would have to go and check.
They didn't. They extended it out that far, but said they wouldn't extend it further, basically. Right. So basically, they stumped up $65 billion, and the pension funds went, please, sir, have you got some more?
Yeah.
It's funny that they're doing inflation-linked gilts, though, because those are, again, supposed to be the safest of the safe.
Mm.
They're supposed to be the bonds, if the government issues the base rate, and then you just get inflation above the base rate. So they're kind of meant to be a bit of an inflation hedge for people, which I... It's funny that they're backing those now that the inflation rates got so high. It's another admission that they don't quite know what they're doing, which is, again, amazing that people would think that it's a shock that they're having to bail out the inflation-linked gilts market. It's like, why? Inflation's high. It's extremely simple why this is happening. I don't know why they're feigning so much shock. It is a lot of feigned shock is going on here because, again, we were talking about this months ago about the yield on UK government bonds going up and therefore the prices going down because of the risk levels. And no one was talking about it. And this is before Unbungu here, with the EU. Do you want to read this one?
Yeah, I'm going to do this first a few times.
Yes. We need more Collapse Watch. Every time we have Kwati Mbunga Kwatwing on the screen, we have to flash Collapse Watch.
Yeah, George, a diggity 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 dwango.
Yes, exactly.
European pension funds should have access to central bank-backed facility as a last resort to help them avoid the fire sale of assets forced on UK pension managers. That's them essentially asking that there needs to be a dedicated repo market for this now, in the way that there is for banks post 2008. You know, it's now just a part of the pension management industry that you run to the central bank every other day for a couple of quid here and there.
It's funny that the European banks would need to protect themselves against what is supposedly an isolated UK crisis caused by a dodgy budget.
Mm.
It's almost like the entire industry has a massive structural problem.
Yeah,
and that wasn't the genuine reason all this happened.
The International Swaps and Derivatives Association, ISDA, on Wednesday called for a system that would allow pension funds to more easily convert their excess collateral into cash in order to meet margin calls from clearinghouses. It comes as officials in Europe assess the implications of the UK's pension and bond market chaos last month when mini-budget prompted a financial crisis. Christ. The sharp and unexpected surge in gilt yields following the announcement of the unfunded tax cuts triggered margin calls and derivatives for pension funds, which they met by selling assets into a falling market. I mean, this is much the same covering as there was...
Hilariously, the unfunded amount for the tax was supposedly about $65 billion.
What was it now?
Which is about the amount they fire hosed into the pension market. So that's the short. The shortfall was about as much as the Bank of England spent on the reaction to the shortfall, which doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, they even go on to here. Pension funds remain dependent on the willingness of banks to accept bonds as collateral, but with bonds which the banks themselves issue.
Yeah.
Jan-Marc Van Mill, head of Treasury and Trading at APG, wrote on a corporate blog, "We would therefore like to see the ECB guarantee the reliability of repo markets, just like the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of Canada do. Banks and investors
Again.
Use repo markets to temporarily exchange illiquid assets for highly liquid collateral like cash. Those assets are deposited in clearing houses."
They've ruined my ending here, because I was going to mention right at the end of this that this is standard practice in Canada and the US.
Yes.
Because their pension market has been so toxic for so long, they have to do this as standard practice. They just have a pension repo market because the pensions are such shit that they have to go back time and time again, cap in hand, to the central bank. This is also another stealth expansion of the power of the ECB, which is not supposed to be a Federal Reserve style.
No.
Central bank. It's not supposed to be. It's meant to be the financial kind of anchor of the euro. It's not meant to have monetary policy, and it's certainly not meant to intervene so heavily in things like the derivatives market. So that would be unprecedented if they were to do that. Here we get into some of the final salary stuff that Moped Man was talking about earlier, because the final salary pension liability is incredibly high. But a lot of firms have essentially been lying or been allowed to lie about the state of their balance sheets. That will no longer be the case because the situation is so dire, really. The government has brought in effectively what is a poison pill for many final salary pension schemes in an attempt to really kind of strong arm the industry into no longer offering them, apart from the public sector. The public sector is still fine, apparently. But yeah, the pensions overhaul risks more market chaos, warns CBI. Lobby group joins chorus of warnings over unintended consequences of proposed changes. Basically, the British government wants firms to fully fund their liabilities on final salary pensions. And in order to advertise benefits to hirees or to higher ups or whoever, to advertise these benefits need to be funded now. They didn't need to be in the first place, or at least they need to be slightly more stringently funded. And this has, they've warned that because the pension funds are hollow, there's nothing, it's like, you know, it's like the guy with the copper bars spray painting them gold in Fort Knox. There's nothing in the vault from these people. Everyone's warning that this is going to cause a collapse because nobody can afford to actually fund the pensions they promised.
Funny that. Who'd have thunk it? They must have got the numbers wrong and expected COVID to kill more people than it really did.
Yes. Basically, yes.
That or the vaccine, either or.
Here at the end, it talks about our intention is to have better and clearer funding standards for retaining the strength, blah, 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 blah. Millions of people rely on the defined benefit schemes. While most defined benefit schemes will be managed, best practice is not universal. Our new measures will help ensure they are protected in the long term. Basically, they're saying, look, guys, we can't continue pretending this hard. We have to pretend a little less hard. People are noticing there's no money in these things. Like, you
it's,
can't
it's
promise...
It's funny the language they use, the line above. Seismic shifts in gilt yields have shown the importance of a funding regime that is flexible, i.e. one that is actually real.
Well, here we get into some of the other issues, like the other structural issues with the UK's pension market and just pensions in general, which is the Telegraph article here, which this has been going on for years. It's only being acknowledged now. His last month's record rise in prices will boost retirement incomes, but not for everyone. Retired public sector workers are to be handed their biggest pay rise in decades, while pensioners who work the private sector see their real-term income eaten up by inflation. Again, the infinite money pot that the government puts forward for these bureaucrats is causing massive strain. It has been a huge financial strain on the UK for many, many years. A lot of these people were promised these pensions in the 1970s, whereas a huge amount of private sector pensions were simply allowed to fail. The public sector pensions cannot fail.
Well, yeah,
they've
got it here. Look
at
the
ultimate too big to fail.
This sounds honestly ridiculous. Public service pensions will rise by 10.1% next April, in line with inflation figures published last week. I don't think there's a private pension fund in the world that'll do that for you.
No. Yeah, the increase will cost taxpayers at least $19 billion over the next 20 years. It comes as private company pension savings that no longer offer no protection against inflation have been devalued by rocketing prices. This is why you shouldn't buy pensions, because they're just going to inflate them away. The disparity has triggered calls for an overhaul of public sector pensions to ensure they are affordable for an increasingly strained public purse. I honestly, all the retired public sector workers should just be told, you were given cushy jobs, fuck off. Go out into the wild and fend for yourselves, all you council workers, all you former paper shufflers, all you jobs for life people in the 60s. Like, honestly, just kick the boomers out of the care homes and let them die on the lawns. I'm sick of them. They're such terrible people.
Well, see, here's the thing with your 20-year estimate. Over the next 20 years, the inflation will cost taxpayers an estimated $19 billion. Assuming that inflation returns to normal levels by 2024.
Yeah. Which it won't do. It can't do. There's no way it can do because of the green suicide we've talked about, the demobilization efforts, and the money printing that's going to be required. This leads very neatly into the other article here. From the Times, which is, Tories don't dare pinch pensions, but even the old are starting to think they should. It's an open secret that there's a huge wealth disparity between the working and non-working public, that those over the age of 65 hold a insane amount of wealth compared to those under the age of 65. It's expected that people are older will have more accrued wealth because of how time works. But compared to
the night of the pillow was the only option.
Yeah, the night of the long pillows. The night of the fluffy pillows. A lot of these people are like on these horrendous like life extending drugs as well, where they have just no quality of life. As we should do a stream about the whole lie of modernity making people live longer.
Yeah. It's just really an infant mortality thing, which human genes kind of dealt with anyway, and that's why like folk in primitive places have like 8 kids.
Yeah. It's an infant mortality thing, and also the like mean life expenses haven't raised that much, and what little gains we have are quality of lifeless. So they're basically just turning, like, leaving you as a zombie. The idea that modernity has stopped people, like the idea that everyone died at 30 before like 19, before like 1850, is ridiculous. It's one of the stupidest neoliberal lies.
Is there anything actually going on in this Times article, or are they just doing like, ooh, Dories, ooh, old people, ooh, Labour, ooh, young people?
They are just doing ooh, Tories, old people, ooh, but it's not about the article itself. What I wanted to talk about is the narrative shift here. Mm. The Times itself is meant to be, it's meant to be like on old people. It's almost as bad as the Daily Mail.
The fact they have a graph, older people gain as young lose out, and they're basically showing like, yeah, anyone who is trying to get a pension, who is under the age of 40-odd and isn't in a public sector job, just like don't even think about it.
Look how hard the arse falls out of election, like voting post, like just pre and post Blair.
Mm.
It's amazing that people apparently in the Thatcher era, most people under the age of 30, a lot more people voted in this supposedly dark time. and yet you hit the 90s and you get like a 40-point drop.
Yeah.
It's a 30-point drop. It's amazing.
Well,
it's amazing that people can...
I know for a fact, for the Tory party alone, from about here to here, the membership shrinks by 90% nearly, or 87% or whatever it is. From like over 3 million to just under 300,000.
Real term cuts to public services, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the big thing is just that we become just a hospital.
Yeah, shall we continue on to the last few we've got here then?
Yes, we should do.
Home buyers lose deposits after lenders pull mortgages.
This is another response to the, you know, financial shocks. This is a more fallout from the big pension wobble, and also the fact that this is actually a result of the money printing done by the Bank of England, as we talked about earlier, that what they did was they massively affected the up rate and then the down rate, basically. So you had a massive spike, then a massive fall, and the lenders went, we can't price mortgages right now. Because we can't price mortgages right now, your deal's no longer valid. You signed a contract, lol, your money's ours. Like, that's what's really happening here. It's to do with the mass instability. Like, as AA talked about a couple of times, I think he talked about it during Shieldings, and he talked about it a little bit within the conversation we had with him on Saturday. But the big offer from the neoliberals, the managerials, was that you will live in slavery, but you will have stability. And they can't even offer stability anymore.
Well, yeah, it was
anymore.
The Brown Blair thing of ending boom and bust.
Yes. You know, you'll live in the pod, but the pod will be stable.
Yes.
It'll be pods for life, basically. Pods for life is a pretty good one. I'm going to remember that one. But they can't even promise you pods for life now. So the interest rates have gone up. I think this is really just an excuse used by the lenders, because as the interest rates have gone up, the 95% mortgages don't make sense anymore. So they're just dumping these people and stealing their deposits. Lovely.
But then, again, this is a bigger knock-on effect. The thing to see from this is, well, you know, they've got this graph further down. Mortgage deals are slowly returning to the market. They're down, what they say in here, you know, nearly half of what they were start of September to start of October. So, I mean, the mortgage derivative market just, you know, the production of derivatives, did that just half in that day?
It's just like panic, but it said property sales are collapsing at the fastest rate since the housing market was shut down at the beginning of the pandemic. That is the elephant in the room here, really. That we spent 18 months with basically no economic output whilst having everything on life support. And what is happening here is the inevitable paying of the piper from that. It is the inevitable hangover from the massive splurge of spending during the sneeze apocalypse. It is ridiculous that anyone would, you know, people aren't even managing to blame Brexit. They're just blaming Liz Truss.
Yep.
Because it's the most convenient short-term solution. The idea that a single mini-budget with a modest amount of unfunded tax cuts during one of the biggest spending sprees in British economic history, it's wartime-level spendings we had during the pandemic, that would be praised by the IMF, and then other stimulus packages or other, you know, supposed stimulus measures completely trashed by them to the point that they undermine the structural faith in the UK economy until that person is replaced, and then magically the crisis goes away. I am incredulous about how all of this has been put forward.
Scotty in chat summed up for us all anyway.
Yeah.
I've spent a good 3-4 years trying to get enough of a deposit together to get my first house. I'd burn the banks down if petrol wasn't so expensive.
Thank you, Scotty PP. We could make a t-shirt like I'd burn the banks down if petrol wasn't so expensive. It's like a t-shirt of the nail.
Yeah, well, there's The next one here, more than 80,000 homeowners at risk of negative equity. Those who bought with low deposit loans are overwhelmingly young, which is basically the corollary of that times one earlier.
Yes. Basically, we're going to have just like, okay. Let's not get to, we've got a little bit of time here. Let's not get to, we've got a few couple more to go through, but I'm going to, you've said this, I've said this. I would like timestamp it. We're like an hour and 20 in of that to our stream right now. So I'll try and remember where this is. But what's going to happen is that we're going to have a bailout of the people. Okay. Let me all crowd you around and let me all tell you what the script is. Because you've said this. A few of the people who are in the know have said this. So we're going to have the Bank of England. They're going to print bonds. They're going to essentially print bonds to give to people to buy back from themselves their own houses, if you know what I mean. The Bank of England is going to buy your house from you and then give it you back. And instead of going to all these financial institutions, they will put it forward as they are bailing out the people this time. It's not going to be, it's not going to be 2008, guys. It's not going to be like that. They're going to bypass the financial institutions, and they're going to issue people largely through digital means, by the way. This will be the huge push towards digital currency. You'll have to use their systems to go through these, what will probably be multiple round bailouts. Yeah, an hour and 20 minutes on the dot. There we go. What will be these multiple round bailouts? And it will be the start of direct interface between the Bank of England and the British populace. They will no longer require the middlemen in some cases. That things collapse so quickly and are in free fall so fast that they need to directly inject the money printer into the population, which, by the way, is what a lot of like 70 IQ people have been calling for. So why can't you just give the QE to the people? One of the prototypes of that was the furlough scheme. The furlough scheme was essentially that. They bailed out the people's jobs. The next step is when the crisis hits, when everyone who has a 95% mortgage loses their house, when there is this threat of mass kind of homelessness and dispopulation in the UK, they're going to step in and they're going to say, we've done it, guys. We've bailed out the people. And then everyone will go nuts for them. It'll be the greatest event ever. It'll be like when people got their stimmy checks in America. You know, all those guys with shooters in the hood and all that stuff. I'm not sure how genuine that was, but that is their gambit here. Stop me if I'm wrong, Evelyn. I think this is, I will mostly credit you on this because I heard you say this first.
Yeah, basically this, but add, sorry, thump, I dropped my phone. that, but add the carrot and the stick of digital wallets. You know,
yes.
Oh, look, you're not going to have your home taken off you by the banks, but say goodbye to ever going anywhere without, like, however many turds you go for being tracked.
They're going to give you digital pounds, and those digital pounds can only be spent on paying your mortgage.
Maybe not quite that, but there will be some catch-all for it. You know, you will own your house on an NFT a document that says it's technically yours, providing you have an Amazon Alexa and a Meta VR set so that it can be watched at any and all moments. There will be some sort of contractual obligation basically called up for you to take.
And we will all these people will become effectively council tenants.
Yep.
There'll probably be a code of conduct. There'll be headlines, government bailing out Nazi pedophiles. And I can see it now. Okay, I think there's a couple more here, so let's move on
just,
to them.
Again, another part of the same story that, you know, well, you're old. Yeah, bonkers British bailout Bitcoin. There we go.
Yeah,
someone's got it in the chat. You know, you're old, you've raided your pension, it's worth bugger all what you paid into it when you worked your head off from the 70s to the 90s or whatever. So come to the last option. You're going to equity release your house, but actually you're not, because the interest rates are through the roof, so now there's a 20 grand premium on what there was a few weeks ago.
Yes, equity release is the other big part of the pensions equation. But it sounds a strange thing to say, but it is. A large number of retirees are funding their retirement through these ridiculous equity release programs. Generally, a lot of them will have like a £50,000 flat selling cost. Aviva has that from one of the research that I've done. And generally, you'll be able to get, under the old rules, over 10 years, if you borrowed £60,000 through one of these lifetime mortgages, you will owe 250 by the end of it. So if your house is worth £250, they get all of it. Or if your house is worth £350,000, they get all but 100,000 of it. That's how equity release works. They basically say, here's 100 quid, now fuck off, I own your house. And a lot of pensioners are, they have such low time horizons and they have such disdain for the idea of generational wealth that they are willing to sell off their inheritance and their children's inheritance for maybe a fifth of what it's actually
Well, yeah, the ch Chancellor Chief in the chat's asking the pertinent question. As usual, how do we get out of this? You recognize the fact that your neighbors are an acquired taste and get started early.
worth. It's ve that's very Alex Jones pilled. Now, the big thing you can do really is to try and limit your exposure to credit. Do not get a mortgage at the moment. Do not leverage yourself. Do not, even if you think it's advantageous to you, even if you think you can't make life jumps without it, don't embroil yourself in these complex financial instruments. Do not get in debt at the moment, is what I would tell people. Don't take out car loans. Don't take out credit cards, if you can. Just try and be as debt-free as possible, because when it happens, when all this comes in and when they start really squeezing people because they are in debt, and when they start raising the interest rates to insane levels because they'll never get on top of this inflation with what they're doing, they will come in and they will say to everybody who is in a desperate situation, this is your only way out, and those people will feel forced to take it. You will have a lot more leverage if you are not leveraged, is what I would say. This is not financial advice. I would preface it by saying this is
Well,
not financial
see,
advice.
I mean, I don't know what position people in chat are in, but I think it would maybe be more helpful to consider, maybe not necessarily your position, but if there are people in your family you would inherit some level of wealth from. Just try and make sure that they are incredibly careful. You
Yes.
know, don't go out and put eat your hat to equity release to go on a few holidays. You know, don't try and finally squirrel away, you know, some of your wage and large funds for the last 10, 15 years of your working life on a pension fund now, because there's no point. You'll never get what you put into it. It really is just a case of own as much as you can and never live beyond your means.
Yes. Do what people used to think of as normal, in everything, and you will be a bit better off.
Yeah.
Thank you for the
Last.
donation,
Oh,
Aurelian
sorry, I'll let you
Nodius
go on.
Caesar. $5, he just said, I want to give up and become an African warlord where I can live happily unaffected by the world. Well, unfortunately, they banned diesel generators and, fires indoors in Africa. So the World Economic Forum is coming for you no matter where you are. This is just some smug person talking about in the US about the
Romel Lonteo.
just about the amount of pensioners he's ripped off. Look at that face.
Yeah.
Look at it. Look at how many people
That's
he's told
I
people.
paid for several family holidays on commission face. Just wait, I need to get the certified.
So there we go. There we go. Let's certify it. But collapse watch.
And then you've got
There
one
is.
last one here. Rising equity release rates raise concerns around rolled up debt.
That's oh God, the slight buzzwords here. But what they're talking about is the fact is they're the debt being leveraged against the and being cumulative means that basically it's compound interest in reverse. It's compound debt. And yeah, the cost of equity release loans is based on the yields of long-term UK government bonds or gilts. So if the yields go up, then your debt goes up. And basically what happens is the debt rolls upwards and you end up with a runaway compound interest situation. So as the interest rate goes up and as the rate of borrowing of the UK in general goes up, you are generally with a equity release system, you are not in like a fixed rate thing. It becomes cumulative. And as the higher pricing happens, the higher interest rates, the greater risk of rolled up debt will hit your property value. And basically, because there's so much equity release happening, this could end up just affecting house prices in general. Because as pensions have less cost because they can't afford equity release, it all kind of rolls uphill. It's like a weird self engine. But basically, what they're talking about here
Yeah,
is
now
that
here you go.
rising
Here's the
costs.
crux. With these products, consumers elect not to make any monthly repayments of interest. Instead, the interest accrues and compounds on the amount you release, so borrowers pay interest on interest. He explained that an interest rate of 8% means a loan could double in 9 years and quadruple in 18 years. Therefore, if a borrower lived for 27 years, their debt would have grown eightfold. So you could release 50 grand out of a house that was worth 400,000, and in theory, let's say all else remaining equal, the value of the house doesn't change too massively. If you then proceeded to live and not pay all that back, plus the interest rate that you owed on it, the bank would own the house.
Now, let's say a scenario happens in which house prices fall after you do equity release. You are then in a situation where you will very certainly not get anything out of the sale of your house. And I wanted to talk about this because, yeah, that is the crux of it. But what's happening is that equity release is going to keep happening. It's going to intensify. If it's going to be a scandal like subprime mortgages were, like all the lending to all these people couldn't afford it was, I think that equity release is going to be the next big scandal. And a whole bunch of people who were sold it'll be like the PPI thing, will end up suing these financial institutions. But in the meantime, all of this money that's supposed to go to the millennials from the baby boomers, all of this generational transfer of wealth that people keep talking about is not going to happen because the banks own those houses. The pensioners don't. The care homes own those houses. The pensioners don't. Very few people are not leveraged up to the eyeballs or still, on their third normal mortgage, never mind equity release. Not many boomers actually outright own their own houses in their old age. And if they do, they may end up with those houses being eaten up by private care costs. So very little of the wealth of the baby boomers is going to be transferred to the millennial generation. And even if it is, they will just pay massive amounts of inheritance tax because, as has been announced, the tax rates and thresholds of income tax and inheritance tax are not being raised with inflation, and that's being used essentially as a stealth tax. So as prices rise, as things inflate, as things get out of control, even if house prices stay nominally level compared with inflation, you'll get hit on the back end anyway because of inheritance tax, because the tax thresholds. So if we have another, say, 10 years of 7 to 9% inflation, which isn't unthinkable, especially with the energy crisis stuff, your average house would go up by about that much every year, just not to go into a negative equity, just not to fall in real terms. So if you think of an average property now being £250,000, that would go up by maybe £25,000 a year. You start to get into the territory of being hit by inheritance tax once that happens. And that's just normal people's property. If you have any assets above that, if the value of the entire estate is above that, you end up losing it anyway. So there's no real way to win if you're a millennial, because of the inheritance taxes and because of inflation as well. It
But
paints a
how am I supposed
combination
to
dire
pay all
picture.
these fees, Mr. Banker Man? Lol, lmao, said the banker.
Basically, yes. The real answer is that this is all part of a generation time scale plan to transfer property ownership into the hands of the state. It's already happening with new builds. We talked about that during the Infinite Council State, which apparently a lot of people have watched. I got about six or seven people I spoke to during No Mas London were like, "Oh yeah, I got into your channel during that stream. That stream was excellent. I've seen bits and pieces of it myself, but I never put the pieces together. It all makes sense now. Thank you for making that." So thank you guys who were gracious enough to talk to us in person. But it's all part of that picture, in that equity release means the banks will own these homes that no other people can afford. As the baby boomers start to die off, there is going to be a mass, real terms, drop in the price of property, because there's going to be a glut of it in both banking hands and government hands. They're going to leverage that to essentially remove the last vestige of the private property market over the next 25 years, as we start seeing stuff being demolished for the eco homes, blah, 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 the pods. That is the vector by which that happens. And part of that is kind of the intentional degradation of pensions. Notice that the crisis itself was not the crisis, it was the speed. They have been dealing with this as a structural issue over the timescale of weeks, but because it became the timescale of hours, they couldn't deal with it anymore. The crisis is the plan. It is, as we've talked about before, controlled demolition. And but I don't think, as is always the case, there's a large amount of hubris involved here. They do not have the skill set, and they do not really have the control to pull off what they want to pull off. And at some point, they're going to hit a runaway that simply throwing QE at it cannot solve. It very nearly happened. We very nearly had a beyond 2008 level financial crisis because all the pension funds nearly collapsed, which would have a knock-on effect. The balance sheets of BlackRock would take a hit, which would mean they'd have to find money elsewhere. Basically, everything would be fucked. But because the Bank of England could magic £65 million out of nowhere, basically in a single day, that didn't happen. But that also adds 65 billion in inflation. So here's where we are. It's been largely ignored by a lot of places. And all of this was predicted months ago by the change in UK yields, which pre UK government bond yields, which predates the Truss government. So that's my spiel.
No, I don't have anything to add.
Do we have anything to shill, though? That's the thing.
No, we can even just mention the fact that for those interested, we should be doing a Nomos sort of wrap up stream 7:30-ish on Monday with a few people. It should be a good laugh.
We will be. I will be posting my speech to the anti-politics Substack on Monday to coincide with that stream, so you guys will have something to read. So look out for that. If you are not already kind of subscribed to it, do subscribe to it, because we will be putting more up there over the coming weeks. But I've honestly just been in research mode still, so I've got like literally 10 things on the go at the moment,
That's
in
all right.
various forms of completion.
I wrote something for it yesterday, but I thought, no, I might stick that on the shelves and come back to it at some other point.
I've had that. I have a lot of stuff that's basically finished, but I think there's things in the works that will render it obsolete, I think. So I've got a few things stored up for what I think is coming, so I can look like Nostradamus, basically. We'll see what happens. But do we have anything else to add? Let me double check everything's down below. I think I've answered all the questions on Streamlabs, etc., etc. So yeah, that's all done. Okay, guys, we've been relatively timely here, so we'll not depress you anymore. It's good to keep an eye on, though, because I like we'd give you good financial news if there was good financial news, but unfortunately there isn't, and you need to be able to equip yourself against it. And like I said, do not. I know people laugh at it, but don't get badgered into buying a private pension. Don't do it. Don't buy an annuity, for God's sake. That's what a few people did. And thank you all for coming, and thank you for everyone who showed up for the Nomos event on Saturday in London. We will see you guys on Monday. As always, look out for our Telegram. Our Telegram is linked down below. That's where you can generally get the best updates. I have my own personal Discord, but as you mentioned off air, that's a bit autistic. Might not be the best fit for some people. But yeah, if you want to follow us on Telegram, I think that's the best place to get
Yes.
serious news and analysis from us. And also reach us directly, since it's not that big of a population there yet, which makes it a bit more easy to manage. So thank you guys, and have a good night.
Good evening.